people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey guys, welcome to Shift and Steer. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. I'm in the Adam Carolla podcast studio with Brad Fanshawe. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. You barricaded the doors, but I still got in.
Thanks for coming up here. We've got a crazy week going on, so we had a meet up here and get into the studio. We'll give you a little update of what's going on, and we'll check in. Well, you know where Aaron is. I don't know. But first, give us a little heads up on Turtle Wax.
Hey, Turtle Wax, after 71 years of car care innovation, Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their new Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. It has three times more Carnauba friction-reducing detergents, and it's infused with Caribbean Crush aromatics that activate when you mix it up. The result is a rich, scented foam that is like taking your car on a tropical vacation. And you got to do that, man. You got to take them. Once in a while, those cars need a little relief. And if you're looking for an easier way to apply that rich Carnauba shine, check out Turtle Wax Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax. With three times the Carnauba, Express Shine Carnauba Spray Wax provides not only great shine, but has polishing agents that clean while you wax. And summer is bug and tar season.
Oh, man.
Ah, man, those bugs and those tars. So pick up some of Turtle Wax Bug and Tar Remover. It easily removes both bugs and tar, as well as other stubborn spots that are holding back your car's summer shine. Reach for Turtle Wax to have a car that looks as hot as summer feels. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out.
You know, I was just driving a car, driving this new Mustang Bullet, which we'll tell you about in a second, but it has a clear bra on the front.
Oh, it does. Okay.
These spray waxes like this that has that UV protectant in it, it's a great way to make those things last a long. Little bit of spray wax with the Carnauba wax in it, and it makes those things last a lot longer without starting to turn yellow. And what, by the way, you can use them on a wrap as well.
Do the bugs, like, do they, you know, hit it and like go boop, 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 like slide off?
I wish they would, because cleaning it is a pain in the butt. So where's Aaron? Aaron doing?
Aaron has been all week while we're recording this up at Hot August Nights.
Okay.
They took his Torchmate YouTube show.
All right.
And they're doing it live. And I asked him, I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You're dealing with flames. It's like 100 plus degrees, and you're in a parking lot. You got to wear all the gear, and you're in a parking lot filming. And he goes, well, we're not filming the whole time. Some of the time we're talking to, you know, fans that come walking up and stuff.
And drinking water.
And I go, yeah, and you're like soaking wet and dripping. And he started thinking, I think he started like thinking, I didn't even think of that, you know. But yeah, that's where he was at. He was up at Hot August Nights all week, and And they didn't even get him a hotel room, man. I said, you got to drive up the hill every night to Tahoe? And he goes, yeah, now that you mention it. And
I said, well, he got a big giant fan blowing on him while he's doing that. I don't know how you weld in the wind, I guess, but I guess it works.
You stand on the opposite side of being up flame.
So what we're going to do is we both drove some cars this past week. Brad drove the Acura MDX.
MDX Sport Hybrid.
And I drove the Mustang Bullet. He drove to Arizona and back. I drove back from San Francisco. I flew up to San Francisco and came back. And we recorded it and told you the story about it. Brad was here with us in the studio with me. We recorded it for a car cast, which you may have heard last week. But we're going to go ahead and take that interview. We're going to plug it into here because we really want you to hear about these two vehicles. They're super fun, very different, but very cool. So we're going to go ahead and jump into that.
It's our road trip special, right?
All right, let's do it. Hey guys, welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Before we start, I want to tell you guys about JB Weld. It's a proud new sponsor of CarCast. Epoxy adhesive used both by pros and experienced DIYers for over 50 years. It can be found at retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, AutoZone, Walmart, and Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right, here we go. So Goldberg is out. He's filming his TV show. He's in Atlanta. He's doing Forged in Fire, Knife or Death, which was renewed for a second season. I enjoyed the first season. It was fun. We're going to get him back in next week. So as you guys know, we're going to be recording live at Roadkill Nights this weekend, Saturday. The live show is going to be 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then we're going to do that celebrity drag race event, which should be kind of cool. I think that's like 6 or 6, 615, somewhere around there. So maybe do a little trash talking while we're out there. It should be fun. I hope to see you guys there. It would be fantastic to have a big crowd out there. This is our first live show, Goldberg and I. It's our first live show together. But in the meantime, I brought in my buddy Brad Fanshawe into the studio. You know him from Shift and Steer and Man Seeks Adventure podcast and Mike Brewer podcast. That has a really long name.
Mike Brewer Behind the Wheel.
With Brad Fanshawe.
Yeah, with well, that's secondary. That's secondary. You know,
it's Mike Brewer Behind the Wheel with Brad Fanshawe.
Yeah.
This is another podcast that he does. Check out all of his stuff. But oh, man, I'm glad to see you up here in L.A.
Hey, it's good to be here, Matt.
You get to save me a trip to Orange County.
Exactly. I saved you a trip. And but no, hey, I appreciate you coming down to our studio every single week and doing Shift and Steer with us. But it's fun to be up here. It's always good to come up here, see all the guys, and hang out a little bit. And, you know, it's just I'm just hurt that you always invite me when, you know, Goldberg's
when
not
Goldberg's
here.
Gone, yeah, you're the fill-in guest.
Yeah,
you're like, hey, this guy's missing. Why don't you come up to the studio? I don't think you've ever met Goldberg or Adam Carolla.
Yeah, exactly. I think they really exist. Yeah. No, I know those guys.
Well, the guy's name is all over this building, so at least
no
Adam
kidding.
Must exist. Or we've been making it up the whole time.
I mean, you could have invited me, like said, hey, we're doing this thing in Detroit. We need somebody to drag race with us. You want to come up? But no, that never happened.
So. Chris is going.
Yeah, of course. Chris is going.
Chris has been here for years and years and years, and I'm just going to say that my trip, my show, is the only one that he gets a suite to stay in and a first-class ticket. I'm
wow.
just saying.
Wow. That's,
this is the only time ever he's get a suite to stay in and a first-class ticket.
I know, but that first-class on Amtrak's not the same as
he's
on,
gotta fly the
on
plane.
A fly. Yeah.
He's got to fly the plane. So, listen, we both just got back from some road trips. We both drove new cars. We want to tell you guys about two very different cars,
yes.
mind you. But good, very interesting stuff. So, Brad drove the Acura, and I drove the new Mustang Bullitt. And I'll tell you guys about those. The trips were fantastic. At least it was for me. I don't know what it's like driving to Arizona in summer. I imagine terrible.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I might as well
so
just
let's tell us about it. Let's
get it off my chest that because they say the first step to recovery is admitting. And I'm a failure, Matt. I'm a failure because I went
go
over
on.
To Phoenix, and one of my reasons to go over there was, as you know, I've got cars over there
yeah.
in my building.
Yeah.
And
also a mom.
I do have a mom over there also, yes. And I had a dual reason. But one of the reasons I went over was for my Man Seeks Adventure show. We were looking for the coolest things to do in the Valley of the Sun when it's over 100 degrees. Which we found some pretty cool things.
And by do, you mean drink.
Well, there was a few different things. There was swimming with dolphins. There was surfing. Yes, surfing. And
there's dolphins in Arizona? They must hate that.
We found everything that was weird. But anyways, my other reason was a car reason. And I went over. I said, hey, while I'm over here, I'm going to start getting my 67 Chevelle Supersport ready to bring back over to California so I can finish the restoration on it. It's on a body dolly, you know, the motor's on an engine stand.
Yeah.
And I wanted to gather up all the parts so my next trip over, I bring my trailer, get it all loaded up, and bring it back.
Okay.
So I got my keys to my building over there, and I got over there, and I woke up, and it was already 111 degrees, okay? And so I...
It's still dark out.
I'm like, I got to get going early to beat the heat. Well, that didn't work. So at like 9 a.m. in the morning, I unlock the building and I go in, and it's like a furnace because that place has been shut since the last time.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
there.
You don't just like plug in like a box fan or just like just
it,
a regular
no. Then all you're doing
fan.
Is moving air. Then it just becomes from an oven to like what do they call it? A vortex oven?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And or convex oven. And I've got a swamp cooler on the building.
Yeah, but when you're not there, what are you going to do?
And leave that it doesn't do anything. No. Yeah. So anyways, long story short is I was there about 30 minutes, moved a few things, and I went, it's too damn hot in here, man. I said, I'm coming back in September when it's down to like 90
right,
degrees.
No, you didn't think I'm going to come back at midnight when it's cooler. You said, I'll be back in 3 months.
Hey, midnight? We were doing a Man Seeks Adventure thing over there. We were in the middle of the desert at like midnight, and we looked. It was 106.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to wait till it cools down. Then I'll bring the Chevelle back.
What are you going to do with the Chevelle? Just curious.
Well, my...
It's a hot rod? It's
no.
A pro touring? It's a-
this car was the first car I ever owned when I was a kid. And my friends all poked me in the ribs about that when I took the body off the frame... It was a high-mileage original muscle car.
Yeah.
Well, now it's an 80,000-mile original muscle car. And at the time, I was going to pro-street the thing. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put tubular A-arms. I'm going to mini-tub it, not pro-touring. I'm going to kind of blend old and new, all new technology, fuel injection on a big block. But I want it all to look like it's almost original, except for the wheels and tires. So it's going to be slammed. It's going to have big tires in the back. It's going to have, I've actually looked at, have you seen these BMW electric cars, the little bitty ones running
yeah,
around?
Yeah, the i3.
Yeah, the i3.
Yeah.
I was in a parking lot one day, and I went, what size wheels are on those things? Walked over and looked at them. It had 18-inch wheels all the way around. So then I went online, found out that 18s or an optional 19, but the thing is they're skinny. They're like 4 inches wide.
Yeah.
So my mind started thinking I could make a set of wheels that were like the old days when we did the big, you know, the wide ones in the back and the skinnies up
yeah.
front for a drag racing look, but have a late model radial that's a 19-inch wheel.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to run. I'm going to set a run of those Michelins and do like a big 315 in the back and like some 4-inch tires up front.
Yeah.
And but
that'll handle good.
Hey, you know what? With the new technology, yeah. it won't be that bad. I'm not going to go through the cones.
But you're making a street car, but you're giving a little
but
bit of that
But you could still drive
look.
It with yeah. tubular A-arms, coilovers, have yeah. a big block and a power glide, and it'll be fun. It'll be a fun car.
Just run 6-piston Brembos in the back and no brakes in the front.
You know what? We could do that with spindle mounts.
That's right. It'll be giant. All right, so you're going to make a fun kind of street car out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, something a little different.
Like a little bit retro look, but kind of modern, like with the big and littles, but a modern version of that.
One of those that when you take it to a show, the new guys hate it and the old guys hate it.
Yeah, so
yeah,
no one will like it except you.
That's all that matters.
That's right. And what engine's in it?
Well, it came with a 396. So I still have the original motor, 396 big block, and I'm researching right now, thinking maybe one of those Holley fuel injection units
sure.
or something.
Yeah.
And then just keep the original motor.
They're all so great now. They're all like self tuning and everything.
Yeah.
You can port the heads or the intake a little bit, maybe do a hotter cam in it and some headers. But other than that, you just bolt on like one of the fast EFI systems or the Holley EFI systems. They're all so good, so smart. You can basically get the version that kind of tunes itself. You can fine tune it later if you want. You can hit up our buddy
Ray laptop,
or something.
Yeah.
And it'll take him, you know, an hour to go through and just kind of fine tune it for you. But for the most part, these systems are, there's so many versions into it now that they're actually pretty good.
And the float bowls never dry up.
Yeah.
The needle, there's no needle and seat to worry about.
Up regardless of altitude.
Right, right. And you know, but that's what's fun about it. You take a car like that and you make it drivable with coilovers, with big brakes, with fuel injection, but still keep the DNA of the car, and it still feels like a real
yeah.
muscle car.
I want to hear about your Acura, but first I'm going to tell you guys about Continental. If you think about of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about garden variety French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about things like live snakes and bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you wonder about folks. It's funny because we've been reading this for a while, and literally when you store your car in a warehouse in Arizona,
you never know
there
what.
Are snakes and things in the cars.
Scorpions.
Yeah, who knows what. Maybe javelina living in there somewhere.
When we're done with this, I'll tell you a story.
You know, so another thing that makes you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know. They're OE on tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. So now Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has the OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So, hey, you get enough surprises when you work on cars and trucks. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE technology multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to OETechnologyseries.com.
So you talk about critters and like that.
Yeah.
I had my 69 Camaro in my shop here at my house, and I hadn't worked on it in a long time. It's up on a body dolly.
Yeah.
And I sat down on my little creeper stool, and I went to slide under to go up underneath the wheel housing to fix a little rust repair there. And I, squatted down, put my head up in there with the flashlight.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I thought I felt like something crawling on me. and I look, and I'm in a cobweb, but that wasn't the bad part. It was a Black Widow cobweb that had just had babies, and there was like 100 of them. And they were all, I ran out in the yard, tearing off my clothes, dousing myself with the hose, and my wife comes out. She goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "There's Black Widows all over me." I mean, you know, that stuff happens.
You're running out there like Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby. I'm on fire. I'm on fire.
Exactly.
You're not on fire. I'm on fire.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you try to be a man about it, but, you know, shit happens.
Yeah. Also, you just got to hit that thing with a shop vac or something. Get some spray down there first before you. You should know better, Brad. Don't stick your head.
So putting the gasoline over me and lighting it wouldn't have been the right.
Okay. Well, no, that kills the bugs.
Yeah, that kills those bugs.
That kills the bugs. So. All right. Tell us what kind of Acura you've been driving.
Okay. So I had to go over to Arizona, and I needed a good road trip car. I mean, mostly what you
NSX.
And I. Exactly. I mean, that's usually what we're driving is something, you know, like, oh, yeah. We drove this Lamborghini or we drove this Mustang or whatever. But this one, I needed a road trip car. And so the great guys over at Acura, they said, hey, we have this new 2018 MDX Sport Hybrid, and it's all-wheel drive.
Okay, so an MDX is the SUV.
That's their top-of-the-line SUV.
Okay.
And it was a hybrid, so it was going to get great mileage. So it's not a plug-in hybrid. It's one of the hybrids that regenerates as you go, which is really weird because you leave the driveway, it tells you your mileage range, and you get to the edge of town on the other side of Palm Springs, and it's gone up instead of down, which is great.
You've been riding the brake the whole time.
Yeah, you kind of go, wow, what's going on there? One of the first things I noticed about it when I looked at the information was that this car, you think – Acura. You think Japan, right?
Yeah.
But no, this one was made in USA.
Yeah.
And
they have to do that now because of Trump's tariffs.
I don't think they did that quite that.
Oh, no,
I know what you mean, but
they didn't just do it last week.
But, you know, when you look at these now, for this vehicle, it says the vehicle assembly point was East Liberty, Ohio. The country of origin for the engine was USA and the transmission was USA. Now, you do look at the fine print. It says that
The rest is made in Canada.
The vehicle contains 70% parts made in Canada. But the thing is, because you look at some of them, and it says, you know, we drove a Cadillac recently, and it said it was, you know, you think Cadillac. Yeah, Detroit. The car was made in China, you know, but it's very strange. But this one, with this 321-horsepower hybrid motor,
Combined horsepower.
That's combined horsepower between the hybrid and it has a V6.
And is it rear-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel drive. Yeah. And it has everything you could need. Great interior. I mean, this one, they had this one in a deep, like, fire engine red. Came with 20-inch wheels that were powder-coated black. And it has the HEI... you know, headlights and driving lights. They call them jewel headlights because they look really fancy when you look at them. But they really do, man. They
HID.
Yeah, but they call them jewel headlights is what they call them. Yeah. And these things out in the middle of the desert when it's like nothing out there, those headlights work.
You need them.
Yeah, you do need them.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what else you need over in Phoenix this time of year.
Ooh, I'm going to guess air.
Is the air conditioning. And now, how many cars have you been in SUV, sedan, whatever, where you're up front, you're like going, yeah, I'm cool. And the people in the back are going, hey, yeah. Could you turn it up a little bit? No, man. Acura has it down better than anybody I've seen because George the dog was in the back seat. And the poor dog about Palm Springs, I look back, he's in a little ball rolled up and he had taken his dog blanket and put it up around him. And I'm like, what? And I look and his ears are cold. His snout was cold. I mean, that dog was frozen. And I realized that they have their own controls back there and it was set at 58 degrees.
Oh,
and
he didn't know how to use them?
And no, he didn't. He hasn't got that. He doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Okay.
But the car drove great, got fantastic mileage, super comfortable seats that have air conditioners in them also. So you've driven a lot of those cars, and that is a nice thing.
The nut coolers.
Yeah, they are. The nut coolers work.
In Arizona, we get swamp ass. You just get sweaty.
You just stick
ass
to the seat.
Yeah. Where are we now with Acura on the transmission? The 8 speeds, 9 speeds,
this 10 has
speeds?
A 10 speed.
10 speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, growing up, I always wanted a 10 speed. Yeah. Now I had one.
Now you had one. It only cost $60,000.
Yeah. And it didn't have the circular bars or anything that curled under. But no, I would say for a road trip vehicle, this MDX, it checked all the boxes. It has Apple CarPlay, which works
great.
It has fantastic navigation. It had a great sound system in it. Now, we're used to driving super high-performance cars. And so, you know, you jump in something like this, you go to pass or something, you go, oh, come on, give it a little bit more. But the mileage, you can. I went over to Phoenix and drove around for the first day I was there without ever refueling the tank. So you can't beat that.
Yeah, that trip's 400 miles.
It's like 500 miles because my mom lives on the total opposite side of town.
Yeah.
And I still had like a 50-mile range when I got to her house. So you can't beat that, you know. Now, you wouldn't be towing a car trailer with it or anything like that. But
Can you tow? Can you tow 5,000 pounds with it? 3,500 pounds?
I don't know what the towing capacity is on it, Matt. But what I do know is that they rated it 27 miles to the gallon out on the out on the highway. And I bet it gets every bit of that because it really took care of everything you would need as far as mileage. One of the other things I was really surprised about, it has three rows of seats.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. And that last row folds down, and I had a lot of stuff to haul. I had camera gear, I had luggage.
It folds flat?
And it folds flat.
You don't have to take it out?
No. You do not. And then if you want to haul, I mean, really want to haul something, there's little buttons on the other side, and the second row of seats fold completely flat without taking them out, and you have a big, huge cargo area. So, and it has a little false floor in the back, so which was nice, because like my camera gear, when I went places.
And your weed?
Yeah, exactly, man. No, all of that could be hidden away, and we were good to go, so... I really enjoyed driving it. It's it had good looks. It had a great interior, and I liked not having to put gas in it at every single stop.
Are you shopping around for a new SUV?
Well, you know I do need a new vehicle badly.
Yeah.
But I've been driving so many things, and everything I drive is like, oh, that Cadillac CTS-V. Oh man, that was great. And then do I really need that all the time? Maybe something like an Acura, you know? And then, of course, my buddy at Acura, Dave, he said, you know, I might be able to get you one at, you know, friends and family. And I said, can you get me
more than sticker?
Can you get me an NSX at friends and family?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too. Yeah.
But it wasn't as sporty as what you've been driving.
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting because, you know, you start to think about what would be a good everyday vehicle. What would be a good everyday, you know, small SUV, something around town. You're actually a pretty good example for it because you haul wheels 4 days a week back and forth or 5 days a week.
Yeah, in my Yukon XL, that's what I do. Back and forth to the factory, to the shipping building. I will tell you something else this had. It has that lane control where it reads the stripes on the lane.
Oh, yeah.
And going over, we're driving at night, and I said, I'm going to try this out. So I press the lane control. I press the traffic assist. And it kind of freaks you out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because this, you take your, it's not one of those that beeps. It actually steers the car.
Yeah, I've used that in another car, and it was.
And I took my hands off the wheel to see how good it did.
Yeah.
And it did, but after about 5 seconds, this big thing came up on the dash and said, put hands on wheel, you know?
And so it's not meant to be autopilot. So if it steers, I've seen this in a few cars, if it steers and gets you back in the lane, if it does it like 3 times in a row, it's like, wake up,
yes,
put your hands on the wheel, what are you doing, like, pay attention.
It must have sensors on the steering wheel to see if you're gripping it or if there's any resistance so that it knows. And but we don't need that, because I had my wife in the car and she said, quit doing that, stop that. So we, she was a good enough sensor. But the other sensor was, I had it on cruise control at like 80 miles an hour, mm-hmm, we're cruising along, and when it reads a car ahead of you, it automatically slows down.
Oh, so it's got adaptive cruise,
yes,
and it's got lane control. I don't know what it's called.
Don't they call it sleep control, so you can take a nap?
Right? No, this is I had this conversation with guys over the weekend about like all the various autopilots and stuff. This is not the same. And also, those autopilots, I wouldn't take a nap with those things.
No, no. Because we always forget that it's the other people on the road, too. Because even if it was on autopilot and it said it would, what if that crazy guy who comes up along the shoulder and then just darts in front of you, the computer's going to read it all of a sudden and put you into a spin or something, you know?
It's, yeah. How's that car handle? Does it feel sporty? Is there a sport mode? Is there a sport button?
It has a comfort mode, a normal mode, a sport mode, and a sport X mode. And you do notice it. The comfort mode for me is a little too squishy and a little too, like, I had it in comfort mode and I came around a 180 degree exit ramp.
Yeah.
And I was like, I came into it kind of fast like I normally do because I'm used to driving cars with really good suspension. And I was like, ooh, I better slow down a little bit. But then I put it in the Sport X mode and did an equal one, and it was stiff, and you get that resistance in the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And it really did handle. I kept it in normal mode pretty much all the time for my driving, and it was
fine. Even on the long run out to Arizona, you didn't put it in sleepy mode.
No. Not in comfort, because then it got a little too squishy and a little too,
yeah.
I don't mind the suspension being squishy, but the steering wheel gets a little bit less reactive and,
right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you don't like.
Well, it sounds good. We're going to post some pictures and stuff on it. You'll have
Yeah, we got some great photos. We'll put them up on social. We'll put them up on.
And what's it cost?
And that's what I was just going to tell you. The one that I had that had the upgraded interior, had the Apple CarPlay, had the power moonroof, the 20-inch alloy wheels. It had all kinds of options, and it did sticker out. It's a little hefty. At $59,145.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I don't think that's a bad number.
It's not a bad number. For, I mean, all the car that you get.
You can get a Lincoln Navigator for $100,000 now if you want to.
True.
You know? And what is, you know, I guess I don't know what the comps are, you know, what is the Lexus cost?
Well, everybody's not making the big Hollywood bucks like you do, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, to some people, you know, guys like me, $59,000 is a lot.
Yeah, sell more wheels, Brad. All right, I'm going to tell you guys about Wrangler. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans, made for the modern day adventurers, whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these jeans are for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits and a price that works for you. Plus, there's vintage, re-releases, all kinds of good stuff. You can get your skinny jeans, Brad.
What?
So when you're going to your LA meetings, you can wear your skinny jeans. You can get your bootcut jeans when you go see mom in Arizona. You just visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shorts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
Aren't you supposed to read that just with a little bit of
a little
twang in there with your
really
Wranglers?
I'm not so good at those. Okay, so moving on.
Moving on.
I did a trip to San Francisco for a big press event with Ford Mustang. They're re-releasing the Mustang Bullitt. Now, we had a Mustang Bullitt, I think, 01 and 08. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right, yeah. Right?
I think we had an 01 and an 08. So we had like an SN95 body style and an S197 body style, if I had a guess. That's what I'm
You being a Mustang guy, I'm going to give it to you on that one.
This was a great event. So they secured a hotel that was an old military fort, right? So there's lots of several little buildings. You know, there's like a grand building and then lots of little buildings. And, you know, it's pretty much on the water, big grass area. It's fantastic, right at the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge.
I was going to say, I know exactly where it is. Yeah. It's that military base right there on the edge of town, right by the bridge.
It's called like Caballo Point or something like that. And it's on the Sausalito side.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that town confused me. I went to dinner and all the restaurants were closing at 6 p.m. I was like,
what? Why?
Yeah, the place was packed. And I was like, great, can I come in? They're like, sorry, we're closing. I was like, but there's 1,000 people in here. And they're like, I know, we're closing. We close at 6. I was like, do you understand what dinner is?
They were like, you've got to clear town, man. You must be from out of town. You got to get out of here before it's dark.
And, you know, as soon as I walked away, I heard her like, shoosh, dodged them. That was close. We dodged that one. They brought out, I don't know, 8 or 10 of these Mustang Bullets out there, and they had, for almost the whole week, they had people come in and do drives and do photographs and do some interviews with some of the Ford staff people. And what I was invited to do was to fly up to San Francisco, go to the hotel like on the last day, meet with everybody, spend a day there, and then Saturday, drive the car home. They had a handful, and I got to drive one of them home, get sort of a road trip experience with it.
So these guys at Ford are no dummies.
They were like,
hey,
like, we need to get a car
we
to
need
LA.
To transport all these cars back to L.A. Let's just tell some of the press guys they can drive them home.
Why fly the guy home when he'll pay for his own gas?
Yeah, they don't have to pay for the transporter.
That was
they don't
fantastic.
Have to, yeah, they're smart.
While they were there, they had, I forgot the guy's name, Sean, I think. He has the original Mustang Bullet.
Oh, so yeah, the one that they found recently.
Yeah, that was the one for photography and stuff as well. They put on a great event. The guys that I met with were fantastic. We got into this super nerdy conversation about technology and the car industry and just like way beyond the Bullet.
Yeah.
Like we're just sitting at the bar, just getting into these things. And I'll tell you, like, the overall feeling on it is this is I don't know. I always, being a Mustang guy, I've always saw the Mustang as like a great kind of fun sports car with a great legacy. And, you know, when I bought my 93 Cobra, which was the top of the lineup back then, that's about 20 grand. You know, like everything's 20 grand these days. The cheapest cars are 20 grand.
Yeah.
Everything kind of is expensive. So you get into a Mustang and you have some fun with it. And then, you know, as you get older, you want to like step up performance, step up some of the features in the car. And I was always like, I'm going to drive a Mustang for a while and then maybe I'll go and I'll get like an M3. And the truth is, that's exactly what I did. In 99, I bought my first BMW M3 E36. You know, and I got some of the nicer features and things like that that Mustang didn't offer. Not anymore do you need to do that.
Well, is that why you're driving the 77 Town Car?
That's right, because I want to step it up to the Mustang. Now, the new Mustang, I mean, it's got the lane departure warning. It's got a 6-speed manual, which we love. It's got CarPlay. It's got sync, and it's got a big stereo in it. And this car now has a full active exhaust, and the valve isn't just open or shut. The valve now moves on the fly like a throttle body does.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it can adjust as it goes.
It can adjust as it's going. Now, it adjusts also depending on the mode. You have normal mode, sport mode, track mode, wet or snow mode. You have launch control. You have a drag racing mode with a Christmas tree on it. You can adjust so many aspects of the car, and the exhaust will adjust through it. By the way, this exhaust, I'm not sure what our friends over at like Magnaflow and you know, they're going to come up with something, but after the cats, this is pretty much used just straight exhaust. You kind of just see right through it. The volume control at this point is the only the only obstruction in the exhaust is the catalytic converter these days, which you can't really remove anyway, even with an aftermarket exhaust. And then you have that valve. So you can adjust the different modes, sport mode, track mode, and adjust the exhaust, or you can just leave it in like a normal mode and you can adjust it independently. You get normal, you get sport and track mode, which is the loudest, or you can have it go to quiet mode. And what's neat is you can actually program the car that when you start it, it'll start in quiet mode. If you get up early and you're in your parking garage or something at your apartment, you can start in quiet mode. Now me, I'd be like, start in track mode, because when I'm up, everybody should be up. So you get all these great features in the car, and there are very few options on it. MagnaRide is an option, and Recaro seats are an option. And I think maybe like a stereo upgrader is an option. And
now, there's not a Streets of San Francisco mode?
There's not. You got to do that on your own. It starts at $46,500, and with all the bells and whistles, $52,000. You know, and on one hand, you're like, $52,000 for a Mustang, but it's not really just the Mustang anymore. It's like, this is better than what my E36 is. I drive an E46 with a supercharger, and this is better than the E46.
Yeah, it has everything. And it was engineered from the beginning that way.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So the MagnaRide is their adjustable suspension. I don't remember the specs on it. It's something, I don't know, 1,000 times a second. It rides great. It's still sporty. Don't think it's not. The reason why is, the Bullet basically comes standard with the Mustang GT's performance pack. It has 6-piston Brembos, 15-inch rotors in the front. It has the upgraded suspension for it. And when you get it with the MagnaRide, it is a smooth ride, but they've sort of calibrated it to be more performance-oriented. And that means when you're going in a straight line, it's trying to give you as much comfort as possible. But as soon as you give it a little steering input, it's like, oh, we're doing stuff. And it adjusts itself for that as well. So in the Mustang lineup, you know, you have an EcoBoost, which you can get with performance packs and options. You have the EcoBoost. You have a GT, which is your great, you know, makes sense. It's your great grand touring car, and certainly the car that you can modify. And then the Bullet is the sports car version, the real kind of sportier version. And it comes standard with all the good stuff. And then when you get to their GT350, that's basically their race car, right? And that'll soon be replaced by a GT500 with a supercharger, and it'll be the monster of the group. But this car fits perfectly in the lineup. And I think it's the best combination of everyday drivability and a fantastic car to autocross or road race or do whatever you want with it and really have some fun with it. Or if you just want to go out on the weekends and do it. Personally, for me, as much as I love the Recaro seats, I did the whole drive in the Recaro seats. I don't know that I would need the Recaro seats, because the standard seats, the difference between the Recaros and the standard seats, the Recaros are pretty much manual and that's it. The standard seats are also leather trimmed. You can get them power, you can get them with 3 memory, and you can get them heated and cooled.
Oh, see, now you're talking.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I'll just tighten my seatbelt and just pass on the Recaro seats.
And save the extra $1,600 or whatever it is.
Almost exactly. It's like $1,595 or something like that. Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. So it's a fantastic car. This is what they've done in the power is they've upped it to 480 horsepower. GT is 460. This is 480. The torque is the same at 420, but the added horsepower gives it, I don't know, like an extra 8 mile an hour top speed to 463. Now, although the torque is still at 420, it's a different power band, and it comes on a little bit earlier. So it is peppier around town, and this is what I love about the strategy behind this is they could probably have done this with just a tune, but they did it with the exhaust. They did it with an open element air filter. They did it with a Shelby GT350 throttle body and the 350 intake manifold. So it doesn't have the big engine cover on the GT because the manifold is actually a little bit taller. So if you think about it, is they actually added a lot more air to it. And then in the tune, they probably brought it back a little bit to optimize the drivability and give you that more torque. You know, if you think about some of the like American Iron Racing series, like they cap the horsepower, but what they do is they overbuild the motor and then they plug up the intake a little bit, right?
Right.
Well, these guys, they opened up the intake, but then they used the tune to kind of level it out to give you that torque band, which to me says, if you add a power adder, you do a turbo or a supercharger on this thing, it's gonna be a monster. And I think if a Vortex supercharger or something adds 200 horsepower to a GT, I gotta say 230 or so, maybe 250 on this car, because you can take way more advantage of the larger throttle body and intake manifold.
What it sounds like is that some enthusiasts in the engineering department went to the parts bins and said, hey, this GT350 throttle body, this way. And they, when they were doing this, because they probably had a budget and they probably said, but we can make it better by doing this.
Yeah.
And that's when some of the best cars, you know, get built, when the guys who know what the average guy wants, you know, gets it done.
I think you're right. But it was a smart move to do it, because you get to, well, one, you get to brag a little bit about it. So, this comes with the GT350 throttle body. It's not just a tune. It comes with parts.
Right.
Which
parts
make it unique. It only comes in a six-speed manual.
I was going to ask you about that. So
it only comes in dark Highland green or black. I'm sure there's a name for black other than black. And you can turn on rev matching, which was fantastic around town. You can turn it off and practice your heel-toe shifting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't want to, you just pop it in the gear and boom, rev matches. And oh, it's fantastic.
That's cool.
You just want it just for the sound.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's
so
part
what
of
you do is put it in normal mode because it's the most comfortable. Set the exhaust to track mode, turn rev matching on, and then go to Ralph's or Pavilions or wherever you shop.
And you are the race car driver that you always wanted to be.
Yeah. There's some cool features about this car is they took sort of a clean approach to the design. There's no stripes. There's no real badging. It doesn't say 5-0 on the fender. There's no grill emblem. There's no Ford. There's no pony.
Really?
No, nothing in the grill. It's a blacked out grill with a chrome trim. The fenders are clean. There's no stripes over the top. The only thing that says Bullet is just the faux gas cap in the back. That
Where's
says
the
Bullet.
Ford identification?
I don't know.
How did they get that through their
yeah. –
because, I mean, you know how when we've been involved with Ford in the past or any car company with a SEMA build, the first thing that you sign is that you will not remove the primary badging.
You can't take the badging off. You can't change the size of the badging.
Exactly.
You know, maybe you can go larger, but that's about it.
I've trimmed the side emblems and stuff, but you got to leave that grill emblem on.
Yeah.
That
You've
is the number
it.
One
that's,
thing.
That's a big thing. So there's no big wings on it. I'm sure, you know, in the aftermarket, obviously you can do whatever you want with these things, but there's something to say about it. Like coming here to the studio, by the way, the drive down to San Francisco, I drove around town, had dinner with a friend of mine. Tons of people were giving you thumbs up in a town where everybody rides an electric scooter.
Yeah.
I did the road trip, and every time I stopped, people were looking at the car and talking about the car. And I drove it here, and right before I came to the studio, I pulled in to just get some gas, and some guy comes over and he's like, I've been waiting to see this thing in person. And he knew about it. He knew what it was, obviously, because they've done a few Bullets.
And you told him it wasn't the original one from the movie, right?
Yeah, I said, no, this is the original one. Yeah, I buffed it out. And you know, he was asking a bit about it, and then there was a line of people behind him waiting for his waiting for his bump, because it was a very busy gas station. And it does that. It's something about it, like, without being a flashy color or bright orange or grabber blue or whatever, like you can still draw a lot of attention with a car that looks good and it's subtle. And that dark Highland green is beautiful. I'd love to grab that thing and give it a good wet sand and make it, like, see if, you know, what can you do to bring it up to that show quality, almost SEMA quality, because I think that color is fantastic. It looks dark at night. It looks great. It's got some metallic in it. It looks great at sun in the day. you know, being in the wheel business, you experiment with paints and powder coats all the time.
Yeah.
There's satins and metallics, and it's amazing what we can do with just a little hint of metallic where it pops all that sunlight off the paint. So it's pretty cool. The shifter, of course, has that white kind of cue ball shifter.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And the bullet emblem in the steering wheel, of course, and every one of them is numbered. So there's a dash plaque as well. So it's a pretty badass car. It's hard not to fall in love with that car.
Now, the leather jacket, the white T-shirt, and the Carrera shades you're wearing, does the whole Steve McQueen look come with the car?
Paul Newman had Carrera shades as well.
He did. But, but I mean, I noticed you were driving in with those, you know.
They handed them out at the Ford event.
you're just telling everybody, Steve McQueen.
I think it's the anniversary, 50th anniversary of the movie, so that was a good time to time the release. Man, it's almost like they thought of that ahead of time.
You think?
Maybe like 2 years ago, they're like,
hey. Marketing people, they do it every time.
For the guys that are super into the nerdy aspects of it, the performance pack that basically comes standard on the Bullet includes the torsion differential, right? And you can feel it.
You can.
Yeah, you can feel it in that thing. When you try to do like a U-turn, you get that little shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like it feels like it's gripping, like it's snagging on something. You do feel a little bit of that.
Now, what about the swag bag? What'd you get when you went up there?
Just the car.
Come on. They didn't give you like a Tag Heuer, you know, or anything like that?
No.
Darn it.
No, they didn't. But you never know. Maybe I'll get a follow-up.
You'll get a follow-up
package. Maybe I'll get a follow-up.
Yes, those do show up.
They're only going to make it for 2019 and 2020. Now, they all will be numbered, but they haven't exactly capped how many they're going to make. They're just going to make it based on demand, and then they'll define the limited edition.
It's limited to how many they build.
Right, but they're pretty smart about it. Like I said, you can get it in green or black. My estimate, and I think theirs as well, is probably about 20% of them will be black. You know, the green looks so good. Here's kind of the trade-off is you want the green because of the story behind the car. But if you did want the car because you want some collectability, you kind of get the black because they'll probably make 500 of them. Well, they'll make 2,000 of the green ones, you know. So it's kind of a toss-up. I think I'd probably end up with the green. The new cars come with the 12-inch LCD instrument cluster. So if you get into your GT350 or the previous, like the 17, you know, Mustang GT, you've got the two analog gauges with the digital gauge in the middle.
Right.
Now the whole thing is just a giant gauge.
And you can kind of change the look and
that's the thing.
Yeah.
So even when you change the mode, it changes that. When you put it in sport mode or track mode, everything changes and it gives you different shift points. You can set a shift light. You can set shift points. So you can say, Just give me like a recommended shift point. When you're driving, you know, it redlines, I don't know, 75, 70-something, 100 RPM. But like the recommended shift point's like 5,500 or 5,000. And it'll be kind of highlighted, you know, on that, which you can turn on and off. Or you can give it like a shift light. So when you're drag racing, whatever. I haven't tried the launch control yet, but you better believe I will. And the Michelins that are on it, they work with Michelins specifically. I don't want to get that wrong, but I want to make sure it's Michelin because I think the previous cars had Pirellis on them, but now they're doing Michelin. I'm going to say Michelin, and hopefully I'm right on that one. They were specifically made for the car, so this is them going to the tire company and going, "Look, we're doing a new Mustang Bullet. We need." This size tire, we need a little bit more grip, but we want a little bit more. They said, well, we sell this all over the place. So we still want a max performance summer tire, but we want to work in a little bit more all-weather capability.
Because of the rainy climates that it's going to be driven in and want a little more sidewall flexibility.
Right. But we also want a little more grip.
Yeah.
And
that's your sidewall flexibility, so it'll squat a little bit.
Yeah. So they're saying we want more grip in a performance tire, but a little bit more ability in your rain and tire. And they came back, they said, sure, we can do that. Here you go. And I think they only did like three rounds. and then they nailed it. You know, the tire company.
Do you think the guys at the tire company go, you know, hey, Matt, pull XYZ 42 off. It's not even close. They'll hate it. Then we pull XYZ 92. It's a little bit closer. Then we'll give them the 5 series and they'll love it.
Look, the tire companies are fantastic because they can make pretty much anything you want, but they want to sell tires, right?
Yes.
So like the wear rating is the cash register.
Yes.
They're like, we can make this really sticky and last longer, but no one will ever buy tires, so we need sort of this nice mix. And anyway, it's fantastic.
When drifting came to America, every tire company got a big grin on their face. They were like, yes, this is great.
Yeah. This is kind of a weird thing. It's like now, in my mind, where does the GT fit in? Because you can get an EcoBoost with performance packs and all the great options, fuel economy, and you can hop it up. And then you have the Bullet that has all of that stuff on it. So maybe you can save a little bit of money by fitting the GT in the middle. But
you could say the same thing about Porsche. You've got the GT3, the GT3 RS, but then you've got the, you know, I mean, Ed, there's something for everyone when you offer all those levels of a performance car.
Yeah. You should get one of these and the Acura.
And a GT3 RS.
And a GT3 RS. Man, somebody's selling a lot of wheels. all right, guys. We're going to start wrapping things up. I'm going to tell you guys about Dodge. You can heat up your summer at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. You can show off a little muscle with the Dodge Charger or the Dodge Challenger and leave everyone else envying your beach bod, Brad.
Yeah.
Come in now to the Dodge Summer Clearance Event and see why so many are joining the Brotherhood of Muscle. You guys heard us go through this whole lineup of cars in the past, and they're fantastic. And, of course, we're going to be going out to Roadkill Nights. We're going to be drag racing that stuff. And the new, I don't know if you've, I'm sure you've heard the news about this, the new Dodge Challenger Red Eye, which is 790-something horsepower, 797 or something like that. It's basically a Dodge Demon set up for road race instead of set up for drag racing.
So now
we have a Hellcat, we have a Red Eye, and we have a Demon. And I just spent, you were with me, we checked it out. Spent a week in the Dodge Charger Hellcat. I'm sorry, Dodge Challenger Hellcat wide body, which is what I understand we're going to be drag racing up there with automatic transmission. I'm sure the automatic's probably faster than the stick, just because how quickly it shifts. It's paddle shift.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a little more consistent. But when you said you were taking the Red Eye to Detroit, I didn't understand you were taking a Red Eye to Detroit.
I literally am flying on a Red Eye to Detroit, and then when we get there, hopefully we get to check these things out as well. So anyway, guys, check that out. And, of course, join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event and get a great deal. Anything else you got, Brad?
The only other thing I have is this right here, this paperwork that I need you to give to Goldberg when you get there, because he wanted a few, lifting tips from me to keep in shape.
You're right. You're gonna tell him to eat 13 eggs in the morning. I stayed at his house, and he's like, "You want some eggs?" And he pulled out this carton. There must have been like 100 eggs in it.
It was like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, it was like 3 levels of eggs. I didn't know you can buy a carton that much. And he eats like each level a day. Guys, let me tell you a little bit about JB Weld. JB Weld's a proud sponsor of CarCast. It's America's favorite epoxy adhesive. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for over 50 years. You must have a stack of this stuff in your shop, right?
I've used JB Weld in the past, absolutely.
Yeah. If you have a big or small project in your home, garage, workshop, or craft room, and you need a strong, dependable, and permanent adhesive with that JB Weld strength, definitely try these guys out. You know, they make a whole bunch of stuff now. They have a wide variety of epoxy, super glue, and silicone products for repairing plastics, wood, metals, and more. And of course, JB Weld is made in the USA. We've tried their products, and we recommend JB Weld. We've all used it over here for sure. You can find them and other adhesives at Home Depot, Lowe's, O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Walmart, or Amazon. So definitely check them out. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Of course, you can check us out at carcastshow.com. And we'll have Goldberg in for next week. Chris is going to come out. We're going to Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do a live show. We're going to do some drag racing. Chris is going to record the whole thing. So next week on CarCast, you're going to get the live show. We're going to be talking to Leah Pritchett for Drag Racer and some of the guys from Dodge. You want to check that out. In the meantime, follow Goldberg. He's posting photos and stuff from the set of Forged in Fire, Knife or Death. You can follow him at Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. You can follow me at Motorator. And if you guys like this show, come back on there and just go to iTunes, give us a nice little review and rating that helps us, you know, bring the ratings back up, gets us back to the top of the list, which we love. You can always listen to Shift and Steer with myself and Brad Fanshaw and Aaron Hagar. If you go to shiftandsteer.com, you can check out all the episodes. You can also subscribe on iTunes Podcast or the Podcast One mobile app. And Brad, where can we find you?
Well, on both Twitter and Facebook, it's Brad Fanshaw. But on Instagram, where I post most of my stuff, it's Bradley_Fanshaw.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to that. I just want to give you a little reminder. There's a Steve Austin Unleashed podcast. Steve's a great guy. He's a neighbor of mine. He does such a fun show, and it is back. Steve Austin Unleashed, every Thursday on Podcast One. Each week, join Pro Wrestler Hall of Famer Steve Austin as he shares his tales from his new life, unbelievable past adventures, and talks to his pro wrestling pals. You don't want to miss it. Download Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Why don't you ever talk about your pro wrestling past?
Well, I don't like to. It wasn't a very successful one. it wasn't. I feel like half the guys here are super into MMA and stuff. So
weren't
I don't
you
know.
The flea? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, I was the flea. You guys, check out Shift and Steer at shiftandsteer.com. Of course, you can subscribe on Podcast One, mobile app, or on iTunes. We love that. Give us a little nice review on iTunes, 5 stars. That would be fantastic. It helps us boost ratings. So we get some advertisers to keep doing this show. And you can check us out at Shift Steer Media on all the social networks. What do you think? We're good?
I think we're good because we gave all our own plugs on the other end, right?
Yeah, so there you go. You guys can check us out. And we'll be back next week, and we'll check in with Aaron and see how he did out in the end.
I bet you he's 15 pounds lighter when he comes back.
He could probably use it. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.